Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, it's my pleasure to be with you this morning. Well, this past Tuesday night was our regular scheduled monthly meeting. It was a very successful meeting. We had a very large crowd. The topic was a forum on immigration, and we had speakers coming in from Numbers USA. We had Jim Robb. Numbers USA is a national organization headquartered in Washington, D.C. that presses for lower immigration along with humanitarian treatment of illegal immigrants. Jim Robb has been with the organization since its founding in 1996, and Jim brought us a lot of information at a national level. We also had Mr. Ron Woodard. Ron is the director of NC Listen, which is a North Carolina-based nonprofit grassroots organization that's involved in immigration reform and in educating the public about immigration and its effects on North Carolina and the USA, so it's more of a local issue for us. We really enjoyed the presentation that both these gentlemen brought to us. It was very informative, backed up with a lot of facts, figures, statistics, and very eye-opening in a lot of areas, things people just aren't generally aware of. Well, I'm going to play for you this morning parts of Mr. Ron Woodard's presentation. Again, he's director of NC Listen, and I'm going to go ahead and let you listen to what he brought to us on the subject of immigration in North Carolina. So here now is Ron Woodard from this past Tuesday night's open public meeting, a forum on immigration.
I'm going to read from prepared remarks because I can be a windbag and I'm sure you have other things to do tonight. So I'm going to try to blast through this pretty quick. NC Listen is a North Carolina-based immigration reform organization. In short, we believe in sensible legal immigration, but we're opposed to illegal immigration. Our immigration policies, we believe, should be based on what's in our national interest, not special interest. Tonight I'm going to talk about the numerous consequences of mass immigration and real solutions to fix the problem. Many citizens are suffering due to the mismanagement of immigration. I'm going to start off with a primer. We have a legal right to control immigration to the United States. Unlike Obamacare, immigration is actually listed in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. Even the left-leaning United Nations says countries have a right to control their borders. It should be noted that 96% of the people in the world don't live here. That's 6.8 billion. There are some very nice people, but we can't move all these very nice people to the United States. Only 4% of the people live here. So we can't possibly move everyone here, and that's one of the main reasons we have immigration policies. And we don't need to move everyone here to do business with them. You know, we can do business with them overseas. It's a much more efficient way to do business than to physically move them here to sell them potato chips. Currently, we allow 1 million legal immigrants to the United States each year, and about 82% of all legal and illegal immigrants are poorly educated and low-skilled. That's just a statistic. You just heard me use the term illegal. Some prefer undocumented. I don't use that term because illegal immigrants have more documents than you do. They've got multiple Social Security cards, multiple consular cards. The last thing they are would be undocumented. From an ethnic point of view, Hispanics and Asians are treated the most generously with legal immigration to the United States. From a country of origin standpoint, Mexico is treated the most generously of any country. So when you hear people say that they're coming here illegally because we are not treating people from Mexico in particular, but not allowing them to come here legally, they're actually treated the best of any other country. Most immigration legally is based on a country number, quota almost. Nearly twice as many Mexicans are allowed to legally immigrate to the United States each year as the second sending country. And by the way, why are six countries hogging 50% of all legal immigration to the United States? That would be Mexico, China, India, Cuba, and I think Vietnam at this point. A big topic, is there a labor shortage requiring immigrant workers? No. There's actually a labor surplus in the United States. There's not a shortage. Mass uncontrolled immigration as practiced today is being used as a weapon against workers, and it's hurting our unemployment rate. It drives down wages, especially for the low-skilled, and is keeping wages low even for some in the middle class. Current median household income is lower than it was adjusted for inflation in 1999 across the entire country. Almost all wage increases are going to the top 15% of wage earners. And we're subsidizing illegal labor, as Jim talked about earlier. Now, I think the more people get wealthy, the better. That's not where I'm headed. But quite frankly, one of the main reasons that the people at the top 15% are making most of the profits is because many of them are hiring illegal immigrants and sticking you with the bill. And I want people to get rich the right way. Hiring illegal labor is a crime, and quite frankly, they should be prosecuted, people who knowingly hire them.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and pick up where we left off with Mr. Ron Woodard with NC Listen. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're listening to Ron Woodard of NC Listen on the topic of immigration as he spoke to us at CCTA's Tuesday night public meeting.
Mass immigration isn't tearing apart the families of illegal immigrants, it's tearing apart the families of citizens. Also, there's no high-tech labor shortage in the USA. I actually worked for a high-tech company for 35 years. There is no high-tech shortage of people who are in STEM fields in the United States. That's a misnomer. Yet we bring in 90,000 foreign workers each year under the H-1B visa program, of which only 6% are the highest skill level. So we're bringing a lot of basic IT people, as if we don't have enough of them unemployed. I think the last time I saw a number, there were over 300,000 IT people unemployed in the U.S., yet Facebook and Microsoft, they want more. Matter of fact, recently McDonald's just fired some of their American workers to bring in H-1B visa workers at the headquarters level. Disney has done this. You probably saw that in the news. Only 5% of illegal immigrants work in agricultural-related jobs in the USA. You heard Jim say 4%. It's about 4.2. I just rounded up. But the point is, that's not where most of the illegals are working. In North Carolina, I've done a lot of research on this. We're more of an agricultural state, and I believe in North Carolina it's more like probably 7 to 8% of the illegals that are here are working in agriculture, where in New York, obviously, there might be 2% working in agriculture, right? But the point is, even in North Carolina, 92% plus of all the illegal immigrants are not doing farm work. For those crops that cannot be harvested mechanically, farmers already have a reliable H-2A visa program for migrant workers. Yes, it needs to be improved. But the reality is, for farmers to say they can't get migrant workers, it's really untrue, because it's the only visa program that we have that's unlimited. It is said that Hispanics do the work and that others in America won't do. But nationally, the Hispanic unemployment rate nationwide is always higher than the average unemployment rate. So how did we get all that work done before they got here? There are over 13 million Americans who are officially unemployed in the United States or are working part-time but want and cannot find a full-time job or have temporarily given up looking for a job but want a job. That's called the U6 unemployment rate. That used to be our unemployment rate until I believe Bill Clinton got in office and wanted to make it look better, so now we use the U3 number, which you hear recently, what is it, 4.8 or 9% in North Carolina. Well, the real unemployment rate in North Carolina is 9%. That's the U6 unemployment rate. Our state has done a good job in improving or lessening unemployment. I'm just pointing out that anytime you hear the unemployment rate anywhere listed, add about 4 points to it, and that's the real unemployment rate. There are 7 million illegal immigrants in our workforce in non-agricultural jobs in America. Do you expect this has something to do with the construction wages for almost all trades falling over the last 25 years? In general, we shouldn't worry about having enough low-skilled citizens to do low-skilled jobs. Our public school administrators are taking care of that. Sadly, there are going to be more challenges ahead as technology, automation, and robotics in particular are going to increase unemployment in the United States in the next decade. Our homeland security, you should worry. 15 years after 9/11 and our borders are not secure, interior enforcement is non-existent, and we have not completed an entry and exit system to track those who come here as tourists or on short-term visas and never leave. More than a third of illegal immigrants actually overstay visas or come in as tourists and overstay. 11 years after the Real ID Act passed Congress, we still do not have all states compliant with a secure driver's license. In North Carolina, we've done a good job. We're going to be compliant by the end of next year, and I think our leadership in North Carolina should be applauded for that. Of course, for those states that aren't compliant with the Real ID Act, I understand just recently they've moved that requirement under the Department of Homeland Security. That's the same Department of Homeland Security that just had about, close to 1,000 people that were supposed to be deported that they gave ID documents to. So I'm really feeling warm and fuzzy that they're going to get their arms around making sure that the Real ID Act is implemented. Concerning the 14th Amendment, it was never intended to provide citizenship for children born to illegal immigrants in the United States, and even the average person can read the Constitution and understand that. And if you read about the history behind the 14th Amendment, it was never intended for that. The Obama administration is enforcing few of our immigration laws, releases criminals into society, and encourages sanctuary cities. Nearly 1 million illegal immigrants ordered to be deported are still in the United States, and 20% of them are convicted criminals. Go to our website at nclisten.com. I wrote a very detailed article on this in particular. Terrorists are coming across our southern borders, often with the help of drug cartels. Drug trafficking is another serious problem. Most of our drug trafficking in North Carolina is done by Mexican nationals trafficking, and it is a hugely serious problem. You may know that 1/4 of all federal prisoners were not born in the United States. President Obama says fences won't work to control our southern border, yet the U.S. Secret Service just recently announced it's going to enhance the foundation of, increase the height of the fence around the White House for security purposes. The Democrats had a fence around their 2016 Democrat convention in Philadelphia, while at the same time condemning Donald Trump for suggesting we put a barrier up on the southern border. But apparently they didn't have too much of a problem with it around their convention center. Unaccompanied minors are coming across the border at a higher rate this year than they were in 2015. The Border Patrol is being told, in effect, by the Obama administration to stand down. We are told Central Americans are running from violence. Well, why don't illegals from Central America running from violence go to Panama or Costa Rica or Argentina? Why is it the United States that they have to run to? And by the way, what are Americans going to do who live in Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, and Durham to escape violence? Obama wants ever larger numbers of Muslim refugees to the United States. Since 2009, we've already given out over 650,000 green cards to immigrants from Muslim-majority countries. We're not sure who they are, the same problem of identity with legal immigrants, because we have weak procedures on the 1 million legal immigrants that come to our country every year. A Pew Research poll shows 10% of native-born Muslim Americans have a favorable view of Al-Qaeda. 23% of Muslims in England support Sharia law. Maybe we shouldn't follow that example. The FBI has over 900 active ISIS probes ongoing now inside the United States. And as far as people who have been arrested for ISIS kinds of similar attacks, North Carolina has the 8th largest number. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees is who selects most refugees for the United States, and they are heavily influenced by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. I wish I was making this up. And once refugees become citizens, they can support relatives. I'm not attacking all refugees. I'm just pointing out that we have a problem with Middle Eastern refugees in particular, and we're not paying attention to it. For every one refugee we bring to the United States and support here, we could support 12 refugees in safe zones near their own native country. That's the issue. Why move refugees out of their own region? And why is the United States on average each year taking over 60% of all refugees resettled by the United Nations? Why not resettle Syrian Sunni refugees in Saudi Arabia or Algeria, or have them remain in Jordan or Egypt or Turkey until they, why fly them to the United States? And oh, by the way, why doesn't Russia and China take any refugees? Is that a fair comment? The voluntary agencies, the VOLAGs, as they're called, that place refugees within the United States get paid by state and federal funds. The more refugees they resettle, the more money they get. Maybe that's got something to do with what's going on. The VOLAGs are supposed to communicate with communities before they resettle refugees, but we don't often see that.
All right, this looks like a good place to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And I ask that you please support our sponsors, because without them, we wouldn't be able to put this show on the air. So let's take this break, and we'll be back and pick up where we left off. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're going to finish listening to the presentation from Mr. Ron Woodard, director of NC Listen, North Carolina-based nonprofit grassroots organization involved in immigration reform and educating the public about immigration and its effects on North Carolina. So let's go ahead and finish up the presentation by Mr. Ron Woodard.
The Obama administration, with your tax dollars, created the Task Force for New Americans with the purpose of forcing Americans to accept mass immigration through the techniques of culture shaping and messaging techniques. One of the task force's projects, called Connecting Communities, involved in five states, of which North Carolina is one of them. A PowerPoint presentation was prepared, and I was able to get my little hands on it. And one of the slides on the presentation is entitled Reframing Refugees Messaging Toolkit. Now, why would we need to be reframing the refugee message? Teacher, I have the answer right. The first two methods they said we should use, or they should use, the refugee groups that are right to make it right to sound better, would be perception trumps reality. So they want to change the perception, forget the reality. And emotion trumps logic. So they want to use the emotion of the situation against your logic. And I believe this is a plan to not only mislead you, but to mislead city and county officials as well. I wish you would help NC Listen pressure our state leaders to get more involved in controlling this matter. Tell your member of Congress to cut funding to the refugee program until security changes are made. Obviously, there's only so much you can do at the state level, but I think we still need to let our state leaders know how we feel. The federal cost of mass immigration, your wallet is really what we're talking about. Illegal immigration costs all states and the federal government over $110 billion net per year. And you can go on our website. We have a lot of this stuff at nclisten.com. One-third of the total uninsured in America are immigrants, legal and illegal, and their dependents. One-third of the total uninsured in America. One-quarter of the people on Medicaid are immigrants and their dependents. And a lot of this has come from the Center for Immigration Studies that Jim remarked about. They appear before Congress more than any other group to provide facts and figures, and it's also some research I've done. Mass immigration, to include illegal immigration, is affecting our schools, healthcare system, crime, congestion, government budgets, and our unemployment rate, as I noted. Mass immigration is affecting and hurting especially our schools. It costs nearly double to educate an English as second language student, and in 2015, nationwide, only 7% of limited English proficient students in the fourth grade performed at proficient level. Yet the needy children of our citizens are often going ignored because we're spending all this money on the dependents of immigrants, many of whom should not be here. And I think this is something that's really serious. It's not that we don't want all children to have a good education. But at some point, you've got to look after our children. And it's not an unlimited amount of money. If large-scale immigration, legal and illegal, was such a great thing, why isn't California, which has more legal and illegal immigration than any other state, overflowing with revenue instead of being up to its eyeballs in debt? Is that a legitimate question? By the way, California is about four times the population of North Carolina, yet its budget is 5.5 times bigger. Part of that, you should thank your leadership in Raleigh, and the other part is immigration is causing a lot of it. The Heritage Foundation completed a study showing the cost of providing an amnesty to illegal immigrants, and they would become eligible for all public benefits if they were given citizenship, at $6 trillion net over the life of all the illegal immigrants that are here today. State cost of mass immigration. I call this Your Wallet Part 2. Total net cost of illegal immigration in North Carolina, cost minus taxes paid, is over $1.7 billion. I think it's higher than that, and I could speak to you for an hour in detail about it. Go to NC Listen, and there's a report on our homepage about it. We've had some good legislation at our state level on immigration enforcement and ways our state can take action. We had House Bill 36, House Bill 318, and, of course, we had a bad bill, House Bill 328. Not enough is being done by our General Assembly, and part of that is the North Carolina Chamber of Commerce. And so I'm not anti-business. I worked, as I said, for a high-tech company for 35 years. I applaud capitalism, but capitalism has to have rules. And it's not right what's going on today. I ask the NC Civitas, if you've ever heard of them, they do polls statewide almost every month in North Carolina. I asked them to ask a poll question of all North Carolinians in May when I was trying to get the General Assembly to do something I wanted them to do, which was tighten up our state E-Verify law to make sure jobs only go to legal residents and citizens. Thank you. So Civitas, if you've ever followed them, their poll results are right on the money. They ask all North Carolinians, Democrat, Republican, black, white, Hispanic, that's the way they do their polls, cell phone users, should North Carolina require all businesses to use E-Verify, and 78% of North Carolinians said yes. 78%. I will tell you, most polls are 55-45. Most of the time when you get a poll answer that's 78%, it's a question like, do you love your mother? That's a general result.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today to listen to remarks by Mr. Ron Woodard of NC Listen on the topic of immigration. I hope you found some interesting facts there and learned something you didn't know about the subject. Maybe we can finish up the rest of it at a later date, but I want to thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. I invite you to please come out to our public meetings, which are held the third Tuesday of every month. And this was just an example of the quality of speakers that we have come in with presentations on all the different topics. So visit our website, cctaxpayers.com, for more information, and I'll see you again next week.